We've been working on preaching through the values, the church values, and also the quantitative or qualitative values, rather. Today we're going to be speaking on the value of the church, the pursuit of the Spirit-filled life for every believer. So if you want to, the scripture will be on the screen. I'll be reading out of the Message today. It just captures it so beautifully, how Jesus describes the Spirit coming for the disciples. But let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, we give this time to you. We know the Spirit is here. We know the Spirit is active and living, that you are in us. So Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts, that the Spirit would be alive in us, that the Spirit would be speaking it to us this moment and in the moments to come. We give this time to you. Amen. So when's the last time that you really pursued something, really deeply, with all that you could, pursue something? What does that look like? It could have been a promotion. It could have just been a job in the hard economy. And it could have been your spouse. I think that one takes the cake for me. Pursuing someone. Just how powerful that is. That I met Annie when we were in college. I saw her fun. I saw her passion. And I saw her red hair, and I was captured. I was gone, you know. So when I was around the campus, I would look for that flicker of red. If I was going down the hallway, you know, I could point her out. Or if I was going to chapel, I was looking in the crowd. I was pursuing. I was looking for her. I wanted to spend time with her. I was I didn't quite go that far. She knew I was looking for her, and yeah, I was not stalking her. No worries. But even when you pursue something like that in someone, when they're not there, when you look for them and you don't find them, you miss them. So it was one of each break, she was the one I missed. And if you think of that, have you experienced that thought and that feeling of pursuit? And do you pursue God? Do you pursue the Spirit in that same way? Do you look for him? Do you look and find him in your day-to-day life? And when you don't feel like you're in tune with him, are you looking for him? Are you missing him? That's what we're called to do, is we're supposed to pursue. We're pursuing Jesus, pursuing God, pursuing the Holy Spirit. Do we do that? Do we look for the signs? That we talk about God the Father all the time, God the Son, but also God the Holy Spirit. He is not an it. He is not this hokey, weird, spooky thing that we think of normally when we think of spirits. That he is a person, that he is living, he is active. And we as believers, when we accept Christ, he dwells within us. He is Jesus in us, the hope of glory. He is powerful within us. He is our advocate. He defends us in trial. He guides us in our life, that he knows us intimately. He cares for us. He sees what's going on. He is the eternal God. He sees the beginning. He sees the end. And he knows the in-between. He knows us right where we are. Do you know that friend? Do you know that counselor? Are you tied? Are you pursuing? Are you deeply invested in him? He is interwoven within us. He is Christ in us. So let's look at John 16. With that thought of who the Spirit is, let's look at what Jesus says about the Spirit. John 16, and we'll be looking at 12 through 15. Jesus says, "I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now. But when the Friend comes, the Spirit of truth, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. He won't draw attention to himself, but will make sense of what is about to happen, and indeed out of all of the things I have done and said. He will honor me. He will take from me and deliver it to you. Everything the Father has is also mine. That is why I've said, he takes from me and delivers to you. Even there, you see the kind of the interplay of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That we know that God the Father and God the Son, that Jesus said, I and the Father are one. But also, we see that the Spirit, that everything he says is from God because he is God. That they are all tied together, that they are all one. But how powerful is it that Jesus says when he was on earth, you've seen powerful things through him, but greater will there be. When the Spirit comes, that he works in all of his people, that it isn't just Jesus on earth, one physical human being at work and alive and doing these miraculous things, but that the Spirit is everywhere, that he is active in me and in you. So with the Spirit-filled life, it's guided by the Spirit. It points to the Father. It points to Jesus, that he is our guide. It says that the Spirit will take you by the hand. Just imagine that, that God is taking you by the hand in the Spirit, that this is a personal act. This requires relationship. This requires time. It requires experience. Have you experienced the Spirit taking you by the hand? Think of a decision that you've made and you ask God, God, help me. What am I supposed to do here? Or you have a decision to make, or just something pops up and you ask God to do it. What does that look like? How does he speak to you? No, it's kind of a living thing. It's active. You've got to know and experience it, and you get to know him more. A.W. Tozer, he says, get to know the person of the Spirit. Get to know him, and you're going to like him. And I just think of that so much, that each time we ask him, he's going to answer. That as we get to know him, we will get to know him more. And I think of with Annie, just that relationship. When we would walk together, I remember it being so awkward because, you know, you're so used to walking by yourself for so long that, you know, each person walks a little different way. I don't know if you've experienced this, but once we were dating, I'd hold her hand and I'd be walking, but we kept on like bumping into each other. I would go cross the street before she would, and then you're pulling, and you know, you gotta experience that. You gotta walk that out. You learn to walk and step instead of just bumping into each other and trying to go your own way. You walk stride by stride. You become that three-legged race. You get to be a master of that. But also, what the Spirit-filled life, it's guided, and it also points to the Father and to Jesus. That it's not about pointing the attention to the Spirit. It says he won't draw attention to himself, but he's pointing to God. He's speaking what Jesus tells him to speak. That idea of selflessness, pointing to God and pointing to Jesus. That if we are in the Spirit and if we are living with him empowering us, that our lives will also be selfless, that it will also be pointing to God. The Spirit brings glory to Jesus, and he looks really, really familiar with Jesus because he is one. How refreshing would that be for the disciples themselves there? They're the audience, they're the original audience. Jesus saying, hey, I'm going to go. But don't worry, the Holy Spirit's coming. He's a friend to you. He's the Spirit of truth. And you're gonna recognize his voice because his voice is mine. How powerful is that for them? That he delivers the truth. He is the Spirit of truth from the Godhead. That when we pursue and are filled with the Spirit, we're going to be Christ-like. Our being and our doing, what defines us, what we do, who we are is going to be Christ-like because the Spirit is Christ. The Spirit-filled life is also one that speaks the truth from the past, present, and future. That we know that the Spirit is eternal, that he was there from day one and even before there was a day one, and that he will be there at the end, at the total end. He doesn't live in confusion and in fear. He sees the whole picture. He has nothing to worry about. There's nothing that is too big for him. He knows it all. If we are filled with the Spirit, we won't know it all because we are humans, but we can be free of that fear, of that confusion, because he speaks the truth to us. Just picture yourself, too, as a disciple. Just take a moment. You are a disciple there with Jesus. You've been there with the thick and thin. You've been hungry, and he fed you all of this food. You've been on a ship, and you thought you were going to die, but he carries you through. And then he says he's going to leave you, and he willingly goes to the cross, and he dies. What are you feeling there? All of a sudden, your master is gone. You're alone. You're abandoned. You're scared because you might be next. But what he says is the Spirit will come and he will explain to you all these things. How powerful is it that the Spirit came, that on the day of Pentecost, it was just like a light bulb came to them. That all of a sudden, after Pentecost, Peter's like, hey, let me give you the whole picture of this. Let me tell you what happened. There was no fear. There was no confusion. The Messiah came. He had to die. He was the lamb that was slain, and he's alive. And that is why we have hope. It was clear as day to Peter, and he shared it with crowds and crowds, multitudes, that the Spirit would speak to what is and what is to come, that he would speak to that moment. Are there places in your life, in the past, in the present, when it just really irks you, or when you're really feeling down, or you're feeling confusion and fear? Have you ever asked God what he wanted you to know about that? That you give that moment, that you give that feeling to him, and he's going to speak truth to you because he is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit is alive in you. The Spirit-filled life is a life of pursuing Jesus, joining and remaining in him and in his work. That the Spirit is joining in him. He's sharing the words of Jesus, and he's relaying to us. But there is that pursuit. It isn't just, I'm a Christian, he's going to take care of it, put it in the bank, I'm good. It's that pursuit. He doesn't drag you along. He doesn't hold you back from what you really want. You must walk in step with him. Have you ever walked with somebody and you didn't even pay attention to where you were going because you wanted to walk and be with the person that you were with? It's almost like that, because our focus needs to be on Jesus and the Spirit living within us. We are walking hand in hand with our Creator God. Isn't that more important than where we are going? And I think of, too, with that idea of pursuit and that idea of walking with my kids, with Lainey and Josh. They want you to hold your hand, but they just want to take off, or they feel like walking really slow, you know, and you have to drag them, or you're getting dragged by them. That it's not like that, that we need to walk step by step, hand in hand, at the same pace with him. That he knows what's to come. We don't have to run in front of God. That we don't have to be drug kicking and screaming. That we can trust him and that he is alive in us, hand by hand, step by step with us. We must pursue him, keeping pace with him, and trusting him and remaining in him. The sweet thing about God is he's not going to turn you down. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, he says, you will be filled. That we can trust him, he's not going to turn you away. And it also says, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you taste him, when you get a feel for him, you're going to want more. if you get a little taste of something nice on the salad bar or on the food line here today for our potluck, you can come back because you can have more. That it isn't just limited to that taste, but that you can have more and you can dig in deeper to him. But there is a cost. That it isn't just yeah, that sounds good. Fill me, God. Fill me with your spirit. There is a challenge to that because there are things that you might need to empty. Do you rely on yourself? Do you hold things closely that you haven't given to God? Tozer says there are all those self things. A.W. Tozer was one of the more famous Alliance pastors and writers. He said, all those self things that that you rely on instead of relying on God. Do you hold self-love? Do you hold self-righteousness? Do you hold self-admiration or self-pity or self-confidence? Some of those things you're going to have to give up for that God-filled life. That God wants to possess you. He wants every part of you. And that's a big thing. But the nice thing is, you know, as we feel that out, as we walk that out, we don't have to say, okay, here is everything. Because I don't even think we're physically possible of taking everything, all of those challenges, all of those pieces of our life, and giving it to him in one package. He says, walk with me. Breathe this out. Breathe this out. Breathe this in. That's what A.B. Simpson says, the founder of Alliance. He says, being filled with the Spirit is as easy as breathing. You can simply breathe out and breathe in. You don't need to persuade him, but there is going to be this relational, this walking out process. You are going to have to lay things down, but the Spirit is going to breathe things into you as well. Being filled. It's an active thing. In Ephesians, that's where our value is based off of. It says, do not be filled with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Just like you just take a drink of something, it's a thing of active that it flows. It ebbs and it flows. So it's not just one and done, but it's a process. Being filled is active. It's relational with the Spirit. That the idea of filling, this word that they use there, it's the idea of diffusing throughout the core of your being liberally supplied to you. Do you want the Spirit to be liberally supplied over everything of your life? And being filled, not just added to, not just a dose, it is liberally supplied, pervading all parts of your life, all thoughts, actions, your words, your gestures, your life's passion, that it fills you to the full. So have you experienced that? Have you tasted and seen, and have you desired more? Maybe this is new to you and you haven't thought about that, that you haven't given your life, that you haven't asked God, possess me, that I trust you enough to give my full life to you. We're going to take about 5 minutes that you can ask God to do that. Maybe you've experienced it and you tasted it, but you've kind of wandered away a little bit. It is in the end, you can have more. Return back to him. Ask him to fill you anew. Or maybe it's that thing in your past or these moments in your life that something just triggers you and you haven't let the Spirit of truth speak to that. Is there something in your life that just tugs and nags and brings you down? And have you given that to the Spirit? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, and that our hope is in Christ. That Christ sent us the Spirit so that we might be filled, that we have a friend, we have a counselor, we have a guide that we can depend on, that God is faithful. If we ask him, he will give to us. He will give us good things from his heart. So we're going to take about 5 minutes. and then I'll close in prayer to end our time. But ask God, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to know about you, about the Holy Spirit, and what are you asking of me? What am I to lay down? So Lord, we trust you in this. May you live in us in the days and weeks to come, that we might continually go to you to be filled more and filled anew. We trust you and love you. In your name, amen.